All right, you guys responsive tonight? Come on. Come on, is somebody going to shout the preacher down tonight? All right, what about this side over here? We got lots of quiet people. Can you guys say amen for me? Come on. Look, we got like half the people. Come on, you guys say amen? Oh, come on. Come on, y'all. All right. Got to get those spiritual juices flowing. Oh, what about the middle people? Like half that noise was Billy and Joey. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Gabriel Webb is going to be bringing the word tonight. It's going to be good. So he's going to be serving it up hot. So you get your Bible and your pen out. And you're going to be taking notes because you're going to go into your MyPod. You're going to talk about it and learn more about what he has to say. Somebody give a hand for the man of God tonight. Awesome.
So how are we doing tonight? You doing good? Splendid. 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 I'm doing very well tonight. Open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms. Chapter 118. And just kind of keep your thumb there. We had a crazy accident that happened a little bit ago. It was one of our worship guys, one of our worship leaders, two of them actually were in a car accident. And actually one of them sitting right here. And he was another one sitting right here. And they were driving and somebody completely just nailed them. I mean, like, was it head on or was it T-bone? T-bone. Well, you guys hit them. But somebody spun out into the middle of the road and hit him anyway. Destroyed, totaled the other car, and by the grace of God, they were the only two that even walked out from the accident, going 45 miles an hour, hitting a car head on.
Yeah.
Let's just keep you up to date. This is something that crazy happened and how our guys are still alive, Alex and Wade back there. I just thought that was an awesome story. A sad story, but at the same time that they're still here and they still can walk and talk. At least we hope so. Psalms 118. You there? If you're there, say I'm there.
I'm there.
I'm excited about the word tonight. You guys excited about the word tonight?
Yeah.
Are we a responsive crowd? Because when you respond, it helps me preach better.
Yeah.
Let's be active. Come on, we're not a church that is passive. We're active, right?
Yeah.
Our default is to say amen. Our default is to respond when somebody's preaching. Does that make sense? It's not a well, this guy's good. Look, if you got something to say, don't whisper. Just say it. Okay. If something's in your heart, just say it. Okay. And it's not as much responding to me as it is responding to the Lord. Amen. So when I'm speaking tonight and something just stirs you up, whether you're convicted, say ow. I mean, if you're excited, say yes. And if you just want to agree, to say amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Psalms 118, it says this. I'm going to read the whole chapter because it's so good. It says this. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and He answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid.
Yeah, that's good.
What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. Come on, say amen to that one.
Yeah.
It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in the princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. Come on. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength. Come on. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Who's the Lord's right hand? That is Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Jesus is the Lord's right hand. Amen? The Lord's right hand has lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but I will live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. Through which the righteous, who is the righteous? We are the righteous by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Through the righteous will enter. Come on. I will give thanks for you, talking about the Lord, has answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone, who's the stone? Jesus is the stone. The stones that the builders rejected has become the capstone. Come on, that's in 1 Peter. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Man, these are scriptures that we can just if we came just to read the Word tonight, we're doing good. Oh, Lord, save us. Oh, Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festival procession upon the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you. Come on, just tell him thanks. In your own mouth, from your own heart, tell him thank you for that he has made you righteous by faith. God, tonight we thank you. By faith, we enter into your presence. We enter into your courts with thanksgiving and praise. God, we love you. We worship you tonight. God, we thank you that you are good, that you are mighty, that you are above all things. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in heaven and on earth. So tonight, we proclaim, come on, the name of Jesus. Jesus reigns in this place. He reigns in my heart and our hearts. And we give him praise, honor, and all glory in this place tonight because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is the one who sits on the throne. Hallelujah. We praise you tonight, Lord, and we thank you. Can you just give him thanks tonight in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen and amen. Go to the book of Numbers chapter 13. Come on, how many of you are excited tonight about the Word? I am excited just about reading. I could just read that again and just go sit down and we'd be good. And just we could go worship. But the Word, did you guys feel something tonight when we were just reading the Word? Did we just, did anybody just feel something in their spirit, in their heart? Were you just, did you receive some joy tonight? The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Look, you need some strength tonight. You just need some joy. You just need to put a smile on your face and say, ha ha. Some of us get too serious and we just need to just put a smile on our face and say, I don't care what you're going through, just have some joy. Amen? Be strong and courageous is the message for tonight. We're in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 26. Now what happened was, Moses sent out 12 guys to go check out the promised land. So we understand about the promised land. We understand that the Jews or the Israelites were able to go to the promised land. Are we listening or are we talking to our neighbor? The Israelites had the ability to step into the promised land because God granted them the promised land, right? But Moses had to send 12 of them into to go to see what the land was like. It wasn't handed over to them. They had to go and possess it. They had to go into it. So he sends 12 guys in. And these guys go and they come back. And this is the report. They come back to tell Moses and everybody else what was it looking like. It says this. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. Listen. We went into the land to which you sent us. And it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. And so, at this point, they're showing them all the good things of the promised land. They're like, yep, God said it flows with milk and honey. Here it is, here's the fruit, because they had gotten some fruit from the land, and they brought it back. And then it says this, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the, and he goes on about all these people and all these great giants and all these great armies and all these great nations that live there and are there and all these great different descendants from different people that live there and how it's too great. And yes, there are some awesome things there, but it's just too great. And they make this excuse and Caleb comes and says something awesome. He says, no, we can do it. And then they come back and it says, but the men had gone up with him and said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explore devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the people. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. I want to speak to you tonight from the subject, be strong and courageous. But my second title or my subtitle would be, no more excuses. No more excuses. Look, we don't have the right or the ability to make excuses because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Does this make sense? No more excuses. Look, don't excuse yourself. When you're at the table with your family in my house, you just don't get up and walk away. You ask the Father, can I be excused? You don't excuse yourself. And it's the same way in the kingdom of heaven. It's the same way in serving God. Don't excuse yourself. Don't make excuses for why we can't take the promised land. And Generation Ministries, our promised land, we believe is 1,000 people who are dead in sin coming alive to Jesus Christ. We believe that God has given us a vision for 1,000 souls. And the problem is that we could have done it maybe a couple years ago, but people like myself have made excuses. And God is saying no more excuses. No more buts. Well, but I just don't know if I can do it. I just don't know if I can stand up for Jesus. We're excusing ourselves, and because of that, because of the buts, people are going to hell. Because of our excuses. Because, and listen to me. I'm saying our excuses. I'm with you. Okay? I'm speaking on the same level. I understand it's not an easy trip. But I'm saying from the scriptures and from what the Lord says that we can be strong and courageous. Amen? So from this subject of no more excuses, I want to be thinking about this because instantly when I start saying that, you already know in your heart that the opportunity that you had to go and preach the gospel, to go and communicate the love of Christ and then go bring the law to somebody's heart, the ability to pray for somebody and see them healed, whatever it is, you excuse yourself because you say you're not good enough or you sinned yesterday. Welcome to the family. We all sin and we all make mistakes. Don't excuse yourself, okay? Reed talked about last week about cooking your Pop-Tarts. We still excuse ourselves. I don't know if I can take it out of the package and put it into the oven. Well, my goodness. Yes, you can. You have two arms. You have two hands. You have a brain. Just stick it in there. Cook your Pop-Tart. But still, for some reason, we excuse ourselves. And I came to say be strong and courageous. Caleb says in verse 30, he said, we should go up and take possession of the land. For we can certainly do it. And that's what I'm saying tonight. That's what I'm coming to tell you tonight. Is we can certainly do it. Some of you are sitting here tonight and you aren't even saved. And you're sitting there going, yeah, what the heck is this guy talking about? But to those who do believe and have faith in Christ, I'm coming to you tonight and saying, look, tonight I'm telling you, you can do it. You can possess the land. And us as a body can take 1,000 souls in Jesus' name. Amen? Don't excuse yourself. But there's one prerequisite. There's one prerequisite. In 14, later on it says, if you go to 14 verse 8, Joshua and Caleb are now talking to everybody. And they're telling them why we can do it. And this is what it says. He says this, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. That's the end of 7. That's 7b. In verse 8 it says, if. Say if. This is the prerequisite. If the Lord is pleased with us. Say that. If the Lord is pleased with us. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and He will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. The prerequisite the requirement before you can ever even start to overtake and to take your promised land is that the Lord is pleased with you. Because let me tell you something. We're not the Savior. He's the Savior. And we're not the hands and the feet unless we're connected to the body of Jesus Christ. And if that's Greek to you, in other words, if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ and you aren't walking day by day with the Lord, then you don't have that prerequisite, and that if isn't answered for you. But that if was answered in Jesus Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? That if we are pleased, or what's it say? I'm sorry. If the Lord is pleased with us, that is answered. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You can write it down. I'm going to read it. It says, praise be to God. This is Ephesians 1 verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every, say every. Not some spiritual blessings, but every spiritual blessings in Christ. For he chose us in him, say in him. Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In him, say in him. We have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In him, we are pleased in his eye. In him, we have the forgiveness of sins. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So in him, the prerequisite for being pleased, or the prerequisite of stepping into the promised land, is answered in Jesus Christ. Because if we are in him, we can take the promised land and we can win the thousand and we can do what God has told us to do. So tonight, if this is all doesn't make sense to you, it's okay, because it's foolishness to those who are unbelieving. But to those who believe, it's the power of God. To those who are being saved. This is the gospel. This is what we preach. That Jesus Christ came and he died for our sins because we needed a Savior. Like that song we were singing, all I need is you. All I need is you. Because the truth is, we in and of ourselves are dead and we have no ability to do what God wants us to do. And we can't even think about it. The Bible says that we are like dirty rags. Our works are like dirty rags to God. But in Christ Jesus, I talked about this last night at Squad, and some of you were there. But in Christ Jesus, he puts a robe around us and he covers our sins and he covers our rags with his robe. And he makes us in a good relationship with him. Amen? Amen. Come on, we got to get a little bit more excited. We're talking about our eternal destiny. We are right with God. Hallelujah. So in this, in him, the prerequisite is answered. Amen. Amen. So we can take the promised land. Amen. We can see the souls saved. Amen. We can pray for the sick and see them raised. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. So the obstacles, we're talking about coming across obstacles. We're talking about going into the promised land. And what the interesting thing is that when they go into this promised land, there's 12 guys go in. And the first thing they do is they begin to excuse themselves. Say, no excuses. The first thing they do is they begin to excuse themselves. Let me tell you something. I'm not saying obstacles aren't going to be there. I'm saying they will be there. And when they are there, don't excuse yourself. Everybody, every great man, every great woman faced an obstacle, but they overcame it because of the grace of God in their life because they were in him. Yeah. What did David say? David stood before Goliath and he said, you come to me with all this sword and this javelin, your spear and your shield. I come to you. What did he say? In the name of the Lord. And he took the giant down by faith. Come on. He was a 12, 13 year old boy. He wasn't good enough himself, but he was in the Lord. So the first thing we have to do is realize we are in him. You know what? I make mistakes too. And I sin in my heart and in actions too. But my courage and my boldness and my strength does not come from me. It comes from the robe of righteousness that I wear by faith in Christ. They say, why are you so bold and courageous? You're a sinner. I am a sinner, but I'm saved by grace and the robe covers me. And because of that, I'm going to take the land with boldness and courage. I'm not going to sit back and let other people take it. Because the truth is that someday, sometime, somebody is going to see this city get saved. And if it is anybody, I want it to be me. And I want it to be this ministry. Amen? Yeah. So we're going to take it. And we're not going to fade back. We're not going to come across an obstacle and get scared and say, well, I can't do it. Let me tell you something. You can't do it. But with him, you can do it. And in Christ, you can do it. Oh, man. Come on. Ephesians 1:18. There's a lot of scripture, so to be listening to it and just receive it. Ephesians 1, verse 18. This is Paul, he's praying, this is right after the other scripture that I read. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. What's the hope to which he has called you? You, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. He's called you to riches. Riches are for you. and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Incomparably great power for us who believe. Not for those who fade away and get scared, but for those who believe. I'm going to shed some more light on this. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Come on. And seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. The Bible says that Jesus, right there, it says that he was above all power and dominion, right? And then it says in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, he goes on to say where we were. But then he says, now you, say me, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, above all power and dominion, above all the demons and all their demonic schemes and plans and all the powers and principalities. We in Christ are above them. Come on, say amen. So in Christ, we have the victory. Let me tell you something. He died for more than us just to make it by. Talk to some people sometime and I go, hey, how you doing? Just making it by, bro. I go, you saved? I think so. Well, check yourself. Come on. How you doing? Oh, just trying to get by today. Really? Because there's more in Jesus Christ. He died for more than us just to make it by. You know, if Jesus just died for me just to make it by in life, I wouldn't be in this. I'm being honest. Maybe you would, but I wouldn't. But he died for more. He died that I could overcome. He died that I could overtake. He died that I could have victory. He died that I can overcome and take the kingdom by force. He died so that we just couldn't make it by and so that we could just keep in our sin and say, well, everybody has their little sinful dark secrets. Brother, this is one of my dark corners. Leave me alone. No. Look, every day Jesus Christ wants to change you from the inside out so that you are renewed in holiness day by day by day. So that when you start out, yes, you're still a sinner and you're crazy. You ask people, when I first got saved, I was a wreck. I'm still being renewed and transformed day by day. And God is still delivering me of junk. But when I'm 90 years old, I'm going to look more and more like Jesus. I'm going to be more loving and more caring and walking in more power and authority. Jesus died just so we couldn't, it wasn't so that we could sit there and say, well, I'm a sinner and I'm just saved by grace. I'm just going to sit in my little chair and just kind of do what I want to do and just kind of hang out. He didn't die for that. He died just so each and every one of us could walk into victory every single day. That's a word for you personally, for you to overcome, for you to walk by faith this day and to walk in victory. Come on, amen? Yeah. Amen. We are not those who fall back and are overcome by the evil one, but we are those who can overcome. Overcome everything. Well, I'm just addicted, brother. The Bible says don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Look, in Christ, with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the one who raised from the dead, with that Spirit and with that power, we can do all things. And there's nothing too great, nothing too hard. There's no addiction. There's no desire that's too big for our God. I'm praying right now that God would impart faith into your hearts right now. Because we as a body need more faith if we're going to see souls saved. Amen? John 16:33. You ready? I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, I wouldn't flip. Just listen. And you can write it down real quick, but I'm going to go scripture, and you're going to get lost. You're not going to hear anything. So just, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. You will face obstacles. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Come on. Matthew 16:18. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. He says that the gates of hell will not overcome it. If you are being overcome by the enemy, my question to you is, are you in the church? Because the church is not overcome. When I'm overcome, I ask myself, am I in faith or am I in doubt and disbelief? And so when I'm overcome and the enemy overtakes me, I got to ask myself, where am I? And I can, by faith, step right back into it and say, no, I'm overcoming this devil. I'm overcoming this obstacle. I'm overcoming this situation because by faith, I'm going to overcome. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Matthew 10:19. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Daniel 3. You read the book of Daniel chapter 3? It talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And how it talks about how these three were in the fire. And the people that put them in there died when they even got close to it. But they still live and they were bound up. And the Bible says that the king came and he's like, there was three in there. But wait a minute, now there's four. And the other one looks like the Son of God. And the Bible says that the things that were bound up was burnt up and they were not harmed. And the word to you is this, is that no matter where you are, no matter what obstacle or what fiery trial that you come across, if you are in Christ and you are in the presence of God, nothing will harm you. I'm not saying that physical things won't come. Look, people are going to get sick and people are going to get hurt. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that your spirit and your soul cannot be harmed in Jesus Christ. Amen? Whew. 1 John 5:4. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You guys with me? This is our courage. This is our courage. This is our boldness. This is our strength. This. The truth is that we're going to be overcome if we're in the church and we're fighting and quarreling with one another. Jesus didn't give us authority to fight with one another. He didn't give us authority to overcome one another. Man, when I first got saved, I thought it was a game of basketball or a sport that I had to overcome everybody else. And so we think for in and of ourselves that we got to overcome somebody else. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against powers, principalities, the strongholds, demons, the devil. Amen? Before I go any further, look, we got to love one another. And when our brother, our sister is being overcome, we step in and we fight for them. We love with them. And when they're overcoming, you don't say, well, they're just getting lucky or, well, I could do it too. But we stand next to them and we encourage them. And we say, yes, brother, yes, sister, I'm with you. You are a man of God, a man of power, a woman of God and power. Come on. We're the church of the living God. We are the body of Christ. We're together. They will know us by our love. I need to insert that. We're going to do it together. We're going to do it together. Matthew 28:19. Jesus says this, we know it's a great commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always. And surely I'm going to leave you every once in a while. Did he say that? He says, I am with you always. To the very end of the age. To the very end of the age. Go to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua, right after Deuteronomy. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Come on, are we there? Are you guys' faith being built up at all tonight? Come on. Look, let me ask you something. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a secret real quick. I stopped asking for grace a long time ago. And I stopped asking for more faith a long time ago. I stopped asking for new things. The Bible says that he's already given it to us. Just receive it by faith. Amen? Look, you need more faith? Just take it. It's yours. You feel like you need to do something? You can already do it. Just do it. Nike. Just do it. All right? Man, when I get in the, man, sometimes I'm like, oh Lord, I don't feel you. And it's like, I don't, it's not about feeling him. It's about entertaining his presence and meeting with him. And so sometimes we sit in our church service or we sit there in our prayer time and we just wait for him to meet us and to feel it. He says, I never leave you. I never forsake you. I'm with you always. Just believe it and walk in it. He's here right now. The Bible says that he lives in us. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, is in us. Right? So when we're wherever we are, just know he's with us. Don't ask, Lord, can you come and meet with me today? No, he's already here. He's with us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Come on. Whew, our God is an awesome God. We don't deserve him to stay with us. But he's so graceful. His rich, the riches of his grace, he has lavished all over us. And we don't even understand how to receive it. But I'm just telling you, just receive it. Just accept it. Just accept that he's with you. But Gabriel, I make mistakes all the time. Just accept that he's with you and that he loves you. Come on. God wants you to know that when he's with you, you're quality. You're quality. Man, he got blessed on that one. You're quality. You hear me? Some of you hear that. You are quality. You are qualified by him to do the work of the Lord. Well, I just don't know. Shut up. You are. I got to tell myself to shut up all the time. I don't know if I can preach this message tonight. I don't know if I can go. I was at Quiznos 2 hours ago and I was walking out and the Lord goes, go give the gospel to those two people. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. And I'm beating myself up. And he says, yes, you can. And I'm making excuses because of the sins I did 2 weeks ago or because I'm just what I've done in the past or because, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm a preacher. I don't do that. I'm a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. And we excuse all of ourselves for all these other things. And God goes, no, shut up and go evangelize. And I'm like, all right. And I go, no, I just evangelize to them. I loved them. I gave them the gospel. Look, stop excusing yourselves. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Joshua 1:1. Come on. And this right here, this is where our courage comes from. This is where our courage comes from. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, blah, 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 blah. Moses, my servant, that was not tongues. It was just, blah, 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 blah. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will be extended from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river. Look, you hear what he's saying? He's like, I'm giving you your promised land. Come on. It's for us. And it sounds good, doesn't it? He says, you will make to the great sea of the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. No one. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Come on. So I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will be with Andrew Meisner. I will be with Reed Moore. Come on. I will be with Andrew Satterfield. What's one of God's names? His name is Emmanuel, right? The book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23. And they had a son, and they gave his name Emmanuel, God with us. Yeah. He's with us. And that is where our boldness comes from. I'm going to keep hitting this point until somebody shouts and screams and says, yes, I'm going to take over this world. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. You're going to... He's like, I need you to stop yelling at me, man. It's... As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Say with me. Come on. Yes, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then he says this, because it's from that foundation that he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. It's from that foundation, from that understanding, from that knowledge that we have strength and courage. He says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land. Be strong and very courageous. Be very careful to obey all the law of my servant Moses. And he goes on. Do not let this book depart from you. Meditate on it day and night. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? This is a command from the Lord to be strong and courageous. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen? Amen. We already read it. Matthew 1:23. God with us. That's Jesus' name. It's Emmanuel. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. He's talking, Moses and God are talking, having a conversation. And what's Moses do? He goes, well, Lord, who am I? This is interesting. He says, Lord says, so now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. He says to you, young man and young woman, I'm sending you into your school. I'm sending you into your family. I'm sending you into Anchorage, Alaska, or wherever you're going. I'm sending you in to take back what the enemy has taken from them. To take back and to conquer, to overcome, to have victory in Jesus' name. He says, I'm sending you into. But what does he say? But Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? What does God say? He doesn't say, well, you're a good boy, and you look cute, and you're tall, and you have small feet, and you have very good speaking ability. Oh, and by the way, I love your car. Your car just looks great. So because of that, no, what does he say? What does he say? I'm interested in what he says, because when we come to God and say, well, God, and we make all the excuses, this is what he says. I will be with you. He says, Lord, who am I? God ignores that and he says, I. It's not about you. It's not about how good you are, how good you can be, and how you can cook up the best filet mignon. It's just about your Pop-Tart and putting it in the oven and allowing God to do the rest. Amen? Yeah. Amen. He says, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said, suppose I go to Israel and say to them, the God of our fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell him? What will I tell him his name is? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he goes on. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. I am is the name Yahweh. In and of its nature, this is what it means. It means he's the God that is alive and active. He is the God that's alive and he wants to be active. God was trying to get himself out there to be known by the nations that he's alive and active and that he's with his people. Acts 4:13. The Bible says that they saw Peter's courage and they knew because of his courage that Jesus was with them. Our courage and our boldness has to come from knowing that Jesus Christ is with us. Amen. Amen. I'm not done. Some of you acting like I'm done already. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth is his name, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you. This is a secret Bible. It's okay. It's the right translation. 2 Chronicles 32. I don't want to give the background, but he's talking to a king about overcoming somebody. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. We've heard this a lot, huh? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, because the king of Assyria and the vast army with them, and the vast army with them, for theirs is a greater power with us than with them. For there is a greater power, come on, for there is a greater power with us than is with them. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us in the fight against our battles. And the people gained confidence from the Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Let me say something. One of the main obstacles people come across, they say, well, he doesn't even go to church, or she doesn't go to church. Or look, I don't care if they're an atheist. I don't care if they've never heard the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter. The point is that the Bible says that the law of God never turns void. Don't excuse yourself because we're looking at flesh and blood. We're trying to justify ourselves by flesh and blood. Don't justify yourself by flesh and blood and what they look like and what they say they think. Just tell them what the Bible says and tell them that Jesus Christ rose again. And you have a good relationship with him. Amen. 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Be strong. And overcome. I got a few more scriptures. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Not a spirit of fear and a spirit of timidity and a spirit of falling back because I'm scared. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. But a spirit of power. Come on. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12:10. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when you are in your weaknesses and you can't think you can do it, that's when Christ is the strongest in you. Just to let you know, I'm always weak and He's always strong. We're always weak and we can never do it. He's always strong. He's always the one that wins the battles and has the victory. Hebrews 10:38. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back. Come on, say this, say this. Say, I am not one of those who shrinks back. Come on, you gotta tell yourself, when you start getting scared in the morning and you know you're going to school and you know that God's gonna tell you to preach the gospel, you gotta tell yourself, I am not one of those who shrinks back. I am not one of those who shrinks back. But we are not one of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believed and are saved, but those who believe and overcome, but those who believe and take the victory. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Come on. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock. Can we get the worship team? At least just the piano, or you guys all have to come up here. I love the piano. If I could play the piano, I'd do it. It's true. Hey, for when I'm weak, I'm strong, man. Hey, no excuses. No, you hear that? Come on, no excuses, baby. Play that piano. Now, look. If you ain't gifted, just stay away, man. Just stay away. You're gonna kill people's ears. It's the truth. Some people sing to their girlfriend to have her fall asleep. I tried it once, and I was like, hello. I learned the first week. I think I got a pretty good voice, but she, you know. But it's not what I think. It's what, guys, listen. I'm sorry, I got to take a side note and just tell you something. Look. I don't care what you think, you know. If she says it, it's just true. All right? So if you just say, well, you know, I'm really good at cooking dinner. She goes, no, you're not. And you're like, I'm not good at cooking dinner. You know? But you just got to realize it. If she says it, it's the law. I mean, I think that God, He put a power in there. When they say it, they ain't kidding. They're telling the truth. Can we just play really quiet? And everybody can hear me right now. Yeah, just really quiet and just nice, you know. Come on. Hey, look, let's be encouraged. Amen. I came to you tonight to tell you that we can be strong in Jesus Christ, that we can have the victory in Jesus Christ, that there is no devil, there's no obstacle that can overcome you unless you let it. The only way it's going to overcome you is if you fall back and you stop believing. Oh, man, this is a word. It's an urgent word for you, because some of you are going to school. Some of you are leaving the state. Some of you are going to your jobs tomorrow, and some of you are going to your families. And you believe that you can't do it and you're not going to be able to make it. Let me tell you something, that if you are in Christ, there's nothing too big, nothing too great or too grand that can overcome you. Isaiah 59 verse 1, it says, my arm, or the Lord's arm, is not too short to save. Gabriel, but it's too far away. I don't know if I can do it. You can. But His arm isn't too short. His arm isn't too short. But my dad, he's an alcoholic and he's always mad and he's angry and he thinks he knows what he's talking, but he died. My arm is not too short. My arm is not too short to save. I don't care if they're buried underneath the muck. His arm is not too short. I don't care if the obstacle is too great, too grand, and the teachers and the stats and the facts and everybody said that there's no way that Anchorage, Alaska could get saved. I don't care what people say. The Lord's arm is not too short that He cannot save. He can save this whole city if He wants to. But He needs a people to partner with Him, to stand next to Him. He's chosen to need us. The truth is, He doesn't need us, but He's chosen to use a people to need us, to need. Does that make sense? He goes, I'm going to choose Moses. I'm going to choose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Peter, who was a little wimpy little boy. And every time something little came along, he just fell away. But He goes, look, You're not going to be slimy. You're not going to be the reed anymore. You're not going to be tossed to and fro. That's what his name meant. You're just tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine that comes along and everything that people say and the facts and the stats and what everybody else says. And your teacher says you can't preach the gospel in this school. And the law says you can't do this at school. And you can't do this and you can't do this. Shut up all that stuff. The word of the Lord says, and he comes to tell you that there's no obstacle too big for him to preach the gospel. It doesn't matter where you are. You can preach the gospel. You can preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't be overcome by the world. Don't be overcome by what the school system say and by what the government says. Come on. Come on. We serve a greater government. We serve the King of Kings. There's a lot of kings out there, but we serve the King of Kings. There's a lot of lords and there's a lot of fathers, but we serve the Lord of Lords and the Father of all. That's our God. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Don't be terrified. Don't falter. Don't fall back. Don't be timid. But stand up and be strong. Because people are going to hell. We're going to hell. He's chosen us. You are my people. I've called you. Who am I? I'm with you. I'm with you. No matter what ministry you're in, if you're in another youth group, you're building another ministry. They don't let us into the high schools. They don't let us into the junior high. They don't let us. None of that. Don't be discouraged. The Lord is with you. Amen? 2 Timothy, we already read that one. We already read all of those. I got a list of names of God. Some of you here, God's with me. What does that mean? This is what it means. Whatever you need Him to be, He's there. Gabriel, I need a provider. He says, I'm the provider. Gabriel, I need a healer. He goes, I'm the healer. I need understanding and wisdom on how to deal with my finances. I'm the wonderful counselor. I am wisdom. I am knowledge. I am understanding. Come on, I will guide you. I will lead you. Come on, how many of you are excited tonight? How many of you are encouraged tonight? No obstacle too big for God. Yeah, it's too big for you and it's too big for me. Amen. Oh yes, we can say that and we can sit back in our little corners and say, well, it's just too big. And we can sit back, man, let me ask you something. What if? What if Martin Luther King said it's too big? What if Moses said it's just, God, I know you're with me, but it's just too big? What if Jesus said the cross is too much? What if the Apostle Paul and all the 12 apostles said it's just too much? Every single one of them died for their faith, except the Apostle John, and he went on the island of Patmos and wrote the book of Revelation, which encouraged the church in prophecy and understanding. And that's not the point. The point is this. They didn't care. God is with us. God is with us. What if Abraham said, Lord, it's too much? What if our pastor, Reed Moore, who isn't even getting paid to lead 20 leaders. And that might not sound anything to you, but he is leading and discipling and raising up and he's helping lead. He's leading this ministry with all of us. And when Josh and when Reed first came here, there was about 5 to 6, correct me if I'm wrong, continual people that came. What if they said, it's just too big and I don't know if it's going to work. We'll go down to Seattle. We'll go down to Florida where there's a revival happening. If anybody can make excuses and say that, well, I don't know, it's just too big and there's too many obstacles. They walked around Jericho. There was a huge building, but the Lord said, I'm going to overtake them for you. Just go around it 6 times. On the 7th day, go around it 7 times and then shout. And what happened? The walls collided and they went and they overtook the land. Mark chapter 2. You remember Mark chapter 2? Oh, great story. Mark chapter 2. I love it. You know what happened? There were so many people in the house. Too many people in the house, right? Remember this? Too many people in the house and 4 people were carrying somebody on a mat. Remember that? And they brought him. The Bible says that there was too much room. They couldn't get to Jesus. Some people say, well, I just don't think I can bring him to GM. I just don't think I can bring him to the Lord. I just don't know if I can preach the gospel to them. I don't know if I can bring them to the things of God. And they came and they're carrying all 4 of them, but they saw an obstacle and they didn't care because they knew they needed to get him to Jesus because his life was at hand. And the Bible says they climbed up the house, they ripped open the house, they got him in there, and the Bible says he was healed. I don't care what the obstacle is. If it's for the sake of Jesus Christ, nothing can overcome. In your relationships, if you're married, no matter what the obstacle is, if it's in your school, if it's in your finances, no matter what it is, especially if it's for preaching the gospel and seeing people get saved, I don't care what it is, there's no obstacle too big, too grand for our God. People thought that the grave was the biggest obstacle. Jesus said, no, I got something much more. God the Father said, yeah, you think you're going to kill my son, but you just did the worst mistake you could ever do because he just conquered the grave for every single person. And he rose again. And he took all them devils and he made a spectacle of them in front of everybody. And he took the keys of the kingdom and he went up there and he gave gifts to men. And now he sits on the throne and he saved every single one of us that are sitting here tonight. And we're not going to sit back and say that the obstacles are too big. They're too grand. No, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Come on. Now I'm going to list off some names to you. And we're going to go right into worship. And my encouragement to you is, look, if you feel discouraged, you feel dismayed, or you feel tame, and you feel fearful, I just want you to just receive these words and these names of God. And I want you to feel free to come to the front and just worship and get along with the Lord. And hear Him say, you are qualified by me. You are qualified by me. Hallelujah. Lord God, you are worthy in this place. You are worthy. Come on, open up your hearts. He's a just God and a Savior. He is a man of war. You're in a war. He's a man of war. He's a merciful God and a merciful judge. He is a mighty awesome one. He is a prince and a Savior. He is the rock of offense towards those who don't believe. He's the shelter for me. You need a place to hide? He's a shelter for you. He's the strength to the needy. Come on, we're all in need and He is our strength. Amen. He's the strength to the poor. He is our strong Lord. He's a strong tower from the enemy. We got enemies running after us. The devil is tempting us and coming out. We just stand into that strong tower. We hide ourselves in Him and we are strong in Him because He is a strong tower from the enemy. He is my sun and my shield. He is my sure foundation. You're insecure? Get in your word and understand that He is your sure foundation. He is your sure, come on. He is your sure foundation. He is our very present help in trouble. If you're in a time of trouble, you're in need and things are too rough, He's very present and He's a help in a time of trouble. He's Abba Father. He is our Father. He's our Daddy. He's the Almighty God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Look, some of you are scared whether you're going to be saved forever. Look, He's the author. And if He authored it, He's going to finish it. He authored it. He began your salvation. He gave you the faith to believe. And He's going to finish it in Jesus' name. He is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the desire of all the nations. He desires service. He desires diamond. He desires south. He desires every middle school and every family. He desires every nation from Afghanistan to the nations, to the continents, to every. He's the desirer of all the nations. He desires them all. He's the everlasting Father. He's the everlasting God. He's the everlasting King. He's the glory of our strength. He is God alone. In and of Himself, He's God. You with me? He's the God and the Father of all. He is God Most High, God my Maker, God of all comfort and grace. He's the God of glory, the God of gods, the God of the heaven and the earth, the God of hope, the God of my righteousness, the God of our salvation. He's the God of peace, the God of the living, the God that formed us, the God that judges all. He's the God which always causes us to triumph in Christ. He's the God that causes us to always triumph in Christ. He's the friend of sinners. You got a friend that's a sinner? Give him Jesus. They need a friend? You know a sinner that needs a friend? Give him Jesus. He's the friend of sinners. He's God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. God, which raised and raises the dead. He is gracious and the merciful God. He's the great King above all gods. Come on. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the guide of my youth. He that built all things. He that called you into the grace of Christ Jesus. He that calls you still. He that formed you from your mother's womb. He that gives you breath. He that gives strength and power. He that had mercy on us. He that is able to exceedingly abundantly do above all that we can ask or we can think. I'm going to say it again. He that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or we think. He that is able to keep you from falling. You're afraid that you're going to fall? He's able to keep you from falling. Come on. He that is higher than the highest. He that is holy. He that is mighty. And he that is true. He that keeps me. He keeps you. He's holding you. He's comforting you. He that judges righteously. He that lived and was dead and is alive forevermore. He didn't only die, but he rose again. He's still alive. Come on, just respond to the Lord tonight. He that loved us. He loved us. He so loved us. He that opens a door that no man can shut, and he shuts a door that no man can open. He searches the heart of man. He that raised up Jesus from the dead. Come on, he raised up Jesus from the dead. He that sits on the throne. He that did not spare his own son. If he did not spare his own son, he will take care of you also. He who is, he who was, and he who is to come. He who alone does great wonders. He who called you. He who called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Come on, we're in the marvelous light tonight. Come on, I'm almost there. Come on, just respond to the Lord tonight. Respond. He's the helper of the fatherless. Come on, you don't feel like you got a father? He's the helper of the fatherless. It says his name is I am that I am. I am that I am is sending you. My name is Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus. Come on, the name. Oh, the name that is above every name. His name is Jesus. Come on, he's the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. He's the King of glory. He's the Lamb of God. He took away the sins of the world. He's not only the Lamb, but he's also the Lion. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God of the hosts, the Lord God Omnipotent. There's nothing too great. All potential is in his hand. The Lord of all, the Lord of the Lords, the Lord on high, the Lord our God, the Master, the Majesty on high, the Most Mighty. He is my Lord, the Lord on high. He is my defense and my refuge in a day of trouble. He's my fortress. Come on. He is my fortress. He is your friend. He is your glory. He is your God. He is your goodness. He is your help. He is your hiding place, your high tower. He is your hope in the day of evil. He is your hope in the day of in love. He is your praise. He is your redeemer. He is your refuge. He is your rock. He is your salvation. He is your father. He is your shield and your strength and your power. He is your captain. He is your life. He is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of the Blessed, the Son of the Father, the Son of the Highest, the Son of the Living. Oh, he's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of grace. He's the Spirit of holiness. He's the Spirit of life. He's the Spirit of truth. He is the Amen. Come on. He is the Amen. He is the beginning and the end. He is the bridegroom. He is the chief shepherd. He is the comforter, the first and the last. The Holy One, the Just One, the Light of the World. He is the lifter up of my head. He is the living God, the Lord mighty in battle. The Lord my strength, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord our healer, the resurrection and the life, the uncorruptible. Come on, the uncorruptible God, the way, the truth, and the life, the Word of God, the Creator, Maker, your Heavenly Father who helps you. God, tonight we thank you. Come on, give a shout to the Lord. Come on, just praise Him tonight. Oh, you are the Lord. There's nothing too big for you, Lord. We praise you tonight. We give you all honor. Come on. We give you all praise tonight. We give you all glory. In Jesus' name. Come on. Let's be encouraged tonight. Let's be encouraged tonight. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too big.